This is an AboveTopSecret.com member podcast, and this is Member Magic, that's M-A-J-I-C, coming at you with another Ramblecast on the topic of Bigfoot and me. All right, well, I think I'm a little better now. That whole story there, it was Wednesday, it was Pearl Harbor Day, and I have kind of a strong emotional attachment to Pearl Harbor, I guess, anyway. I guess just a combination of circumstances inspired me to go ahead and share that little tidbit from my childhood. I know it's a pretty intense podcast, and I'm sorry about that. Maybe not what people were expecting, and when you want some guy, freaking out on a freaking out on a podcast. But it does feel good to get that out there. I got to say, it took a lot out of me doing that, and I've had to chill out for a few days, but feeling better today, and just wanted to follow up on that. And thanks to Mr. Whoopi and Enron and Red Blaze for your feedback on that. And sorry if that freaked anybody out too much. It was a pretty traumatic experience for me, as a kid, and yeah, I think it changed me. Well, now I can just tell you flat out, it changed me. I mean, even now, I cannot abide being indoors in a house or anything. If it's night outside and there aren't curtains on the window, I can't tolerate that. I just cannot stand that. And I don't know if that's unique to me. I think that might be true of a lot of people who just don't like having, uncurtained windows open at night. But, out where I live, I'm out in the boonies, a lot of my neighbors, they do that. They don't even have curtains on their windows because, they're out in the boonies and they don't care. I do. I have blinds. I have curtains. I just cannot tolerate having, that kind of thing going. And, when I was a kid, I just felt kind of haunted by that whole thing because, I wasn't expecting anything like that. I mean, I was just, going along, just, enjoying childhood and just was going to go to sleep. And then what the hell was that? And, I've had almost 40 years to try and figure it out, and I still don't know. I mean, maybe, kids have imaginations. I certainly have quite a vivid imagination. And, I've thought of all kinds of things. Maybe it was a peeping Tom. Maybe it was a prowler. Maybe, it was the 60s. Maybe it was some really hairy hippie who was strung out on drugs. The problem for me still, and other things, maybe it was a bear, a large dog, a mountain lion, a guy in a gorilla suit for all I know. Maybe some kids playing a prank or something like that. It was autumn, maybe, for Halloween or something. Except I don't remember it being Halloween at the time, but who knows? Maybe there is quote unquote a logical explanation for that. The whole problem is the eye contact, and it's pretty hard to mistake that. And that's really what got me. If I would have looked out the window and I would have seen just some shape out there moving, well, that would have scared the hell out of me too. But at least it was just some shape moving out there, But when you're looking something right in the eye, it's pretty hard to miss something like whether it's human or not. And again, maybe I was just an excitable boy and misinterpreted something. Maybe it was just some person. But we had a fence around our place, and it was a solid wooden fence. And I do remember checking, and there was a gate that, you could open to drive in and out of, and that was open the next day. So if it was a person or a Bigfoot or whatever the heck it was, they could have just walked in. And, I would imagine if it was a human, though, he would know he was trespassing, walking into somebody's, fenced yard after dark. So who knows? But anyway, what I want to talk about in this is kind of a follow-up is, just how these kinds of things, how we do try to explain them away and rationalize them and, try and come up with some logical explanation for something that just doesn't jive with our preconceptions about reality. And, that's what I did as a kid. I mean, again, what really made the incident difficult for me, and, I've tried talking to my brother about this since, various times throughout our lives, and it didn't have the same impact on him. He was almost four, but he was basically 3 years old. And, I think he just thought it, to this day, he just doesn't really, it doesn't bug him, like it bugs me. But, I was five, and I was looking at that situation and going, okay, there's just no way that both me and my brother dreamed that. So, you know, that's one of the reasons for my Lovecraftian existential horror in response to the thing. You know, without going into all the possibilities, and again, I don't know if this bears on this Bigfoot story at all. You know, my sense of this is that maybe it is a hoax. You know, I don't know. That's the problem. But what, you know, but getting back to this whole notion of, you know, logic, what's a logical explanation? Well, if you get down to nuts and bolts, what a logical explanation is an explanation that agrees with what we already know. And put another way, that's called prejudice. It means that if something doesn't agree with what we already know, then it can't possibly exist, right? This is the whole religions of science thing that I like to talk about, you know, and there's a difference between the scientific method, which is a valid and very useful tool, a philosophical tool for examining, you know, the world around us, versus the religion of science, which has the motto, you know, its creed is, if science can't explain it, then it doesn't exist. And this has characterized my reaction to this experience. And I've had some other experiences. I'm not one of those people that seems to be a magnet for the quote unquote supernatural, but there have been other experiences in my life that are difficult to explain, you know, quote unquote, with science. And in this particular case, I still find myself just wanting to find a logical explanation. And, you know, that logical explanation would be that it was just some guy, you know, some guy, probably a burglar or, you know, some weirdo. You know, maybe it was Charles Manson, you know, and that explains the crazy eyes. But it doesn't explain. I mean, I described it in the first podcast, kind of yellowish brown. Well, actually, it's more like a brownish yellow. I mean, the eyes were very light colored, kind of like a lion's eyes or something like that. And again, you know, there's some animal-like quality to them that just did not ring human at all, which is the reason why I freaked out. Well, aside from the fact that, well, anyway, without rehashing that too much, what that, you know, I think what that did for me as a kid was taught me firsthand experience that, you know, and of course, you know, and I don't want to get too much in the family dynamics of this, but, you know, obviously me and my brother talked to our parents about it. But think about this. You have, you know, a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old, you know, 3-year-old and 5-year-old kids, and they tell you they saw a monster in the window. Well, I remember Dad going out and looking out there with us, you know, and we noted that the gate was open, and you know, he tried to find a logical explanation, you know. But think about it. You got, you know, you got kids that age, they're going to tell you that kind of stuff all the time. So obviously for my parents, it wasn't a big deal. You know, at the most they might've, you know, okay, well maybe we better close the gate at night or something, you know, and we did end up getting the curtain on that window, but, you know, so, but getting back to this whole notion of, you know, what is logical and what isn't. See, I think this kind of stuff happens to everybody. I could be mistaken. Maybe someone's listening to this podcast that has never had anything quote unquote supernatural happen to him. But you know what? If there is such a person out there, I'm willing to bet, you know, dollars to donuts that you're in the minority. I think that I think all of us do. And in fact, I suspect those who think they haven't are lying to themselves. Because you know what? I think this kind of stuff goes on all the time. What we do, though, is we reject input that doesn't agree with our idea of what reality is. We just, that was just my imagination, right? It was just my imagination. And that's how we deal with this kind of, you know, this stuff that doesn't agree with our perception of reality. And this kind of stuff happens all the time. You know, it's the scientist that's looking at an experiment and going, that's impossible. Something bad's happening. You know, and a disaster, an earthquake or something, and you know, you're huddling there going, this isn't happening. This isn't happening. Well, guess what? That kind of stuff does happen. And I guess that's kind of my point in this Ramblecast follow-up to my first Ramblecast, which is I saw something and my brother saw something in the window. I don't know what it was. But what I think is an interesting thing to look at is how we react to these kinds of things. For me, it was horrifying, largely because I thought the thing had malicious intent. But it didn't try to come into the room. You know, there's no evidence of it attempting to break in or anything like that. And, you know, it just could have been something or somebody, you know, kind of leaning up there, had its arms on each side of the window. I don't know what was going on there. I just know that it wasn't supposed to be there. And I wasn't prepared to see something like that. And, you know, hey, you know, even if you just look out a dark, you know, window into the dark and you just see somebody standing there, a human being, that's pretty damn scary, too, if you're not expecting that. So, you know, cover it with hair and give it these freaky yellowish eyes. And, okay, now you're talking scared. Anyway, for me, at least doing that podcast, which I did regret the next morning, true enough, but I don't now, it was catharsis for me. It was, okay, so here I am, I'm sharing this over the internet. Oh, well, why is magic so crazy? Well, here's one clue. You know, the thing that did for me as a kid, and I'm sorry for the rambling nature of this podcast, is it taught me that things like that could happen. And as a result, it made me more alert to those kinds of things, more open-minded to things which didn't agree with my prejudices. And while it, you know, has taken a lifetime for me to get to where I am right now, I do think that was an important stage of my intellectual growth, because one of the things that has characterized me ever since that time is a tendency to reject orthodoxy, a tendency to question authority, a tendency to not buy into the official line, to be aware that no, my parents didn't know everything. You know, I saw something that they couldn't accept. I saw something that I couldn't accept. And this followed me through. You know, as I grew up as a kid and as a young adult and now as an older adult, I still just reject the idea that we know everything there is to know. And yet it's amazing how much resistance I have found to that simple assertion over the course of my life. It is amazing how desperate so many of us can be, including me, to not allow for the possibility. You know, the greatest fear of, you know, Lovecraft nailed it. You know, H.P. Lovecraft, which I got into reading. I got into reading horror as a kid because, you know what? I knew that kind of stuff could happen. I knew it could happen. So I was attracted to horror as a young teenager. I used to eat up H.P. Lovecraft and all that kind of stuff. And H.P. Lovecraft said, you know, fear is the strongest emotion of mankind. I'm paraphrasing here. And the strongest kind of fear is fear of the unknown. And yeah, that's what we fear more than anything else, is not even something that we know to be bad, but something that we don't even know, whether it's good or bad. Xenophobia. And I'm speaking collectively for us here. And if you disagree, well, hey, that's fine. You know, I certainly look forward to differing opinions. But I just wanted to offer a follow-up to my original podcast, which was rather intense, and just say, hey, okay, I'm all right. I'll get over it. In fact, I really do feel like I'm coming to grips with this finally. You know, geez, give it 4 decades, you know? Anyway, thanks again for the responses. Apologies for those who may not have been expecting quite the emotional narrative that came out in the first podcast. And my encouragement on the part of anyone who might be inspired by these podcasts to comment on their own experiences or comment on this whole notion of Bigfoot, or the notion of xenophobia and our tendency to build our realities to something that we want to, you know, that we want. We tend to believe what we want to believe. And I've seen this in myself. I see it in everyone else I know. This desire to explain everything based upon how we want things to be, or at least how we know things to be. And if you have comments on that, of course, I'm very, very interested. Anyway, this has been another characteristic Ramblecast by Member Magic, MAJIC, at AboveTopSecret.com. Until next time. Take care, friends.